Welcome to another World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. Montreal-based band Stars are back with us again today on the World Cafe, including vocalist, writers Torkel Campbell and Amy Milan, keyboardist Chris Seligman, bassist Evan Cranley, and drummer Pat McGee. The Canadian group formed in 2001. Their new album is called Five Ghosts, and they returned to working with Tom McFall on this album. He produced the group's 2005 album, Set Yourself on Fire. I started out by asking Torkel why the album was named specifically Five Ghosts.
I just think five is an unsettling number, don't you?
Because it's
there's just something about the
odd
word.
It's
the word
five.
It sounds sinister to me. I don't know. There's something. Do you get that vibe?
The F and the
five?
V together there.
Yeah, I don't know
playing
why.
Playing around with who knows what.
The Five Ghosts is just a phrase that sort of stuck around through the whole making of the record that seemed to keep coming up, and then we didn't really have any connection to anything with it. It just seemed to stick around. And
it's actually the name of a song that didn't make it to the record, but is actually on our EP. Yeah. But we thought, well, has that ever been done? Like a record named after a song that we've written that's not actually on the record?
I'm sure it has, but...
It has, yeah.
Oh, you're sure, are you? Well, I'd like you to prove that.
I want proof,
please.
Immediately.
Because I think we're the first, so you say otherwise.
But it's also a feng shui term, which we didn't know. We didn't know it until we... You know, every conversation or thought that anyone will ever have from now until eternity ends will be Googled. So as soon as we came up with this idea, we put it into Google, and it turns out it's from feng shui, and it's... It refers to the energy in a house after a loved one has died. So it seemed very appropriate.
I was counting to see if there were indeed five songs that referenced ghosts on here.
Hmm. Are there?
I don't know.
I think there must be at least five.
Yeah. And I understand there was hauntings involved.
There was. Chris doesn't have a mic, but it was his haunting, but...
He's very sensitive to ghosts. You know, every time usually we're on a bus, so we're a little safer for his hauntings on a bus, because generally buses aren't haunted except for by old drunk guys, and they're all right. But if we're on a van tour, every kind of morning we check in, and we're like, so, was the hotel haunted last night? And he's generally got to tap into the situation.
Yeah, he does seem to have a connection to the spirit world.
That is Torkel Campbell and Amy Milan speaking for Chris Seligman.
Yeah, as we do so often.
Well, you should do one of these ghost songs.
Okay.
Which one would you like to begin with?
We're going
to
do I Died So I Could Haunt You.
Town square, thousands of faces you touched once, thousands you lost in the fire. Knock, knock on the door of the house that you knew. The air goes cold round me and you, and it's cold. You know that he's there, he's there.
They know.
One day we all disappear. We'll walk till we get to that harbor. I'll never know we were here.
Lovely. Stars are playing live for us today on the World Cafe, and that is I Died So I Could Haunt You, which kind of fits in with the feng shui kind of definition there. Good song.
Thank you very much.
One thing you can sort of notice a little bit today, because Fatty is playing the synthesized drums, and is really apparent on the record, is there's a lot more synth sounds, whether as lead or synth bass or, you know, all over this record than there was last time around. Was that a reaction to the kind of more orchestral last record, or?
Well, I guess everything is a reaction to what you've done. You know, there's that sense of having done something, you reassess it and you suddenly have a compelling need to move on from it. So I think the guys, Chris had invested in a lot of analog keyboards and a lot of very beautiful old sounds and stuff that he was getting out of keyboards. And Evan was very interested in those synthesizers. And so they started working really hard on that stuff. And I think, you know, the three of them kind of decided that they were going to make a live sound, but make it with synthesis and build songs instead of with dynamic, build it with polyrhythms and build it with harmonies and stuff like that. So there was that initial decision in the music before we really even started playing. You know, a lot of how a record turns out is the gear that you have around you when you're making the record.
It started with Simmons drums, didn't it? Wasn't there like an eBay Simmons drums buy?
Evan,
it was very exciting,
Phil
Collins kind of.
Well,
I can't believe that he just came into this conversation. A million people just turned their radios off. Please turn
and
it
And a million
back
just
on.
Turned it up.
Well, one of the things that's really, if people get a chance to get on the web, there's a whole series of, it's actually becomes a longer film about the making of this album, which there have been many of these things, but this one actually seems to be one that took place throughout the process and shows you guys in the studios and shows a lot of these old synths and how you're working it. And I was curious what that was like for you after the fact to go back and look at what people filmed of you.
Generally self-hatred.
Yeah, very,
oh God,
very unpleasant
experience. Why did I have
experience
to have so much pizza around that time?
Unbelievably fat. That's those in neon lights, that phrase glows in front of my eyes when I
remember Tork watching it. He's like, where's the glamour? Read a little more glamour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the least bit glamorous. It's kind of like what people would would see if they were here watching us on the World Cafe.
I'm less fat now, though. I swear to God, I am.
Me too. I look fabulous right now. I thought this was being filmed like everything else in the world today, but I would have stayed in my jammies had I known.
I've never looked better.
But did you discover anything about band relations through this? Did you notice any of that?
Through making the film?
Yeah, through looking back at your interactions.
Did I discover anything about it? No, I everything was reaffirmed that I already knew about band relations, which is that I'm quite difficult to take as a person. And I think everyone else is as well, in their own quiet way. Everyone is pretty unbearable in this band.
What I like about it a lot in that film is Tom's presence, because he was such a huge part of
Tom
is the producer of the album, and he was such a huge part of making this record, and you really see him give us a hard time and how he was really difficult on us and he really pushed us, and this record wouldn't be the record it is without him. So that was my favorite part of the movie, is just showing how much he was a sixth member of this band.
I like the part where Tom's like, there's a little trouble on that phrase at the end there. And I said, trouble in terms of, and he goes, in terms of pitch and delivery.
I remember that too. And I love it because we're always asking people what producers do.
Yeah.
And they wrangle it. That's for sure.
If they're good, and he's amazing.
Yeah, you'd have to fight. I mean, there was lots of arguing. I remember for Wasted Daylight, he's like, yellow. Never loved the word yellow. And I was like, dude, I'm keeping yellow, okay? And now every time I say it, I'm like, yeah, yellow kind of sounds weird. But he was very, he was a director. He directed us in a lot of ways. And each one of us, Chris and Patty and Evan, and he really pushed all of us to our limits.
Amy, one thing about this is you're singing a lot more songs on this record. And Torkel, is there a reason for that?
Well, I mean, I think that what happened was, it's interesting with our songwriting process is we have these two voices that are present. And I think that sometimes when Torque and I write lyrics, we either write a lot of duets or we don't. Like, I think with Bedroom, you didn't actually write a lot of duets, and I wrote more duets. And on this album, he really pushed the duet, so I'm sort of more present, and I didn't. And I kind of feel like that's something that's going to be a reaction to the next album, that I'm only going to write songs that include the two of us.
Mm.
So, yeah, I felt
busy
like...
me.
Yeah, it's...
For me... Just the thing about speaking about this stuff is that you've got five people here in the room, all of whom have their own perspective on why things happen, you know. But from my perspective, if you have an instrument like Amy, then you should use that instrument more. And I know that I'd had conversations with everybody in the band about just isolating Amy's voice and letting the beauty of it be more present, you know, in the music. So... it just seemed like an obvious thing to do because Amy has an incredibly beautiful voice. So, and also just the conversations are less two-sided in this record. It's not, you know, he said, she said, or this is how I see it and this is how I see it. It tends to be more, the duets tend to be more about two people kind of going through the same experience together and two sides of one person or something. So there's a lot of, that, you know, one song is sort of one person is a medium and the other person is at a seance, you know, so it's just a different kind of conversation. And I think that ends up being less back and forthy.
So the narrative may well drive all this we end up hearing anyway.
In the end, I think it does. If you have two voices, you're instantly attached to the idea that you're going to have two perspectives, and that then you have to deal with that, you know.
Stars are our guest today on The Cafe. And what do you guys want to do next?
What are we going to do next?
We're going to do Fixed.
Fixed, yes.
You are, you always were.
That Is Fixed, another one from the Five Ghosts, the new one from Stars, who are playing live today on the Cafe. The other thing to note about these songs, not only are there a lot of ghosts involved, but the songs may sound up and bright, but the subject matter not always so.
Mm-hmm.
And which is not uncommon. People do that a bunch. But the general tenor of the lyrics comes from...
Well, we'd made this decision to make this dance record, and we'd got all these synthesizers together, and it was all... The springtime was coming, and things were looking great. And then my father passed away, and that really hit us in the stomach in the middle of making the record. So... We just had to deal with it. You know, there wasn't... We were doing sessions literally weeks after he died, and I just couldn't come in and write a song about, you know, a prostitute and a drug dealer falling in love anymore. I had to...
Although there is that on the record.
There always is. They always creep in somehow. But it just... I don't know. That was there. So we had to deal with it, and I think... Also, it's part of what we've always done as a band, you know, is we make sad dance music. We make sad dance music. I would say that's probably the best definition of what our music is.
When in the process do you end up writing the lyrics?
It depends. You know, Amy likes to take it away. She likes to get a recording and take it away and go and work on it for a long time.
It being the finished track?
Well, the guys will have a piece of music, and they'll tend to decide, I think, when they're doing it, oh, this might be good for Amy, or this might be good for Torque to write something on, and then they'll give it, you know, to Amy in a form that's rough and that she can take home and work on. And then with me, it tends to be that I hang out in the room with them and write it while they're playing it, you know, and kind of... So it just depends on who... is working on the song at a given time, how the song gets written on. And then once the song happens like that, then it has to come back into the group of people, and that's when it starts being influenced and pushed around by everybody, you know, and Amy might add something on the end of a song, or somebody might say, I like that bit you wrote, but this bit isn't really happening for me. So it then gets edited and reworked by everybody. So
Amy, what's that like for you to go off and really spend a lot of time with something and then come back and find out that yellow isn't the right word or you know?
The right word?
No,
I see what you mean. It's just good to have, it's better for me to hash out stuff that I just kind of get rid of I edit out the garbage myself at first, and then I'm like, okay, that doesn't work until I finally find something that I know is starting to work, and then it's helpful. I mean, being in a collaborative group like we are, I think it's, you know, I don't know what I would do without them. I write for them. I want them to like it. They're mm-hmm. the most important ears for me, is the people that you're looking at in this band. And so everything is welcomed. You know, it's when you're a band for 10 years, you try not to take any criticism personally, because what matters at the end of the day is the best song. And hopefully what we're all trying to do is achieve that 3-minute piece together that we love.
And we're listening to live versions of the best songs. The best versions is done by Stars Live today. And what's next?
We're going to do a song called Dead Hearts.
But you won't believe me. You say you do. don't deceive me. Dead hearts are everywhere. Dead hearts are everywhere. Did you touch them? Did you hold them? Did they follow you to town?
Live today on the cafe, and that is another one of the conversations that goes on this new album, The Five Ghosts, that's Dead Hearts, which leapt out. I loved that the first time I heard it, and I loved it because not fully grasping the ghosts idea, I thought, well, okay, it's aliens, it's afterlife, it's a really great song.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it doesn't have to be. There's ghosts all over the place. Anyone you ever had a great conversation with and then never saw again is somebody who haunts you, you know, and all those kids you went to school with and all those people, what happened to them, you know? It's just a strange thing.
Yeah, it's a great song. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you so much for all the support, man. We really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to be here.
World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.